Tim Versalotti, you have a great perch to have watched the Brown-Warren contest. Have you made any calculations as to why Warren won? I guess it's that simple.
Yeah, I think there are two groups of voters we want to focus on here, women and independent voters. Women gave Brown a significant edge in the race in two ways. One, they made up 53% of the electorate based on the exit poll, a little higher than their incidence in the population. But two, they favored Warren over Brown by 18 points, which was hugely important. On top of that, Warren had closed the gap with Brown among men. She lost by only 6 points, whereas polling data had shown her down upwards of 18 points among men. So gender, women in particular, but also the independent vote. In the pre-election polling, Scott Brown had leads of anywhere from 25 to 30 percentage points among the unenrolled voters. And in the
end... You better explain what unenrolled means in Massachusetts.
Oh, sure,
yeah.
Sure. What we're talking about are people who either are not registered with a political party or simply don't identify.
Like me.
And lots of folks feel that way. And in Massachusetts, they make up more than half of the electorate.
And one of the reasons is that it's basically we're allowed to vote in either primary to switch to that primary for the election. So why wouldn't you?
Sure.
Keep
that's
all
right.
Yeah.
That's right. So there's and it varies by state. Some have closed primaries where you do have to commit, but Massachusetts doesn't. And what we saw all fall was leads of about 30 points for Brown among independents. And in the exit poll, we find Brown does beat Warren among independents, but only by 18 points. It just wasn't a big enough cushion for him to overcome that disadvantage among Democrats. Warren won 89% of the Democratic vote. Brown won 11%. It just wasn't enough for him to put together the kind of coalition he needed, and which he had put together in the special election in 2010.
I'm always talking about the likability factor. I mean, I'm convinced that Americans don't know much, and that quite frequently they vote for somebody because they either like him or her or don't like him or her. Has your polling been able to tell us anything about that?
It has, and this provides somewhat of a conundrum until you take it apart. Brown's popularity in Massachusetts never really diminished that much, even though this was a rough-and-tumble race, and when voters said it was getting negative, they were ascribing most of the responsibility to Scott Brown. But generally speaking, he had a job approval of 57% as of the Thursday before the election, and his favorable unfavorables were 10 points in the favorable direction. So it wasn't that voters didn't like him. In fact, just the opposite. I think voters like him a lot, but other considerations trumped personal feelings about the candidate.
Do you think that that's something that might have been unique to Massachusetts? The reason I ask you that is I think we have, with my having said before, that I don't think as a nation we're educated voters. We really don't know about most of the issues and the rest. But in Massachusetts, I think we have a fairly bright population. And assuming that, were there people who said, you know what, I don't really like her, Warren, but I'm going to vote for her because I realize that if I vote for the other guy, he organizes with McConnell in the Senate and gives a Republican majority. Is that a possibility?
I think it's an absolute possibility. And again, we saw that in the pre-election polling when we asked people, would you prefer one party or the other to control the Senate? And the majority said, yes, the Democrats. And these were people, including folks who were had very favorable views of Scott Brown. And that was a theme that emerged in the candidate debates and then in the advertising and as well through the campaigning by surrogates such as John Kerry in Massachusetts. And so that theme, vote the party, not the person, as opposed to the mantra that Scott Brown was using in the final days, vote person, not party, that party consideration seemed to trump any sort of personal feelings, positive personal feelings that voters may have had towards Scott Brown.
Is he still a popular figure? The reason I ask you that is that there's some feeling that John Kerry may go on to be Secretary of State, in which case, say the pundits, there will be an open seat. The same way he got in last time, there'll be a special election. This time there won't be Obama, and this time he could win again. What do you make of that?
It's an open question, for sure. And depending on the sequence of events, the timing of an election would be very interesting. Say, for example, Hillary Clinton submits her resignation and such that it is effective January 20th when the president is sworn in for his next term, and then Senator Kerry would be nominated and then have to clear the Senate. We could, under Massachusetts state law, once a vacancy occurs, the governor appoints a caretaker but then we must have an election within 150 days. That would put an election sometime in the summer, a time of year when Massachusetts voters are not accustomed to voting in an election. And so we could have a similar set of circumstances where we could have a fairly relatively low turnout race, and the opportunity would be there for Scott Brown to take another run at this.
I see that Kennedy won a congressional race. Want to tell us about it?
Sure. This was in the 4th District. This was the seat that had been held for many, many years by Barney Frank. It was redistricted this year to take in a little more Republican territory and drop out some more reliable Democratic precincts. Frank had had a tough challenge in 2010 from Sean Bilat. Frank had had to put some of his own money into the race. He looked at the new boundaries and said, it's time to go. So Joseph Kennedy III, son of Joe Kennedy II, who had served in the House from the 8th District.
And whose son was Joe Kennedy II?
Son of Bobby Kennedy.
Right.
So royal lineage, shall we say. Joseph Kennedy III had been working as a prosecutor in the Middlesex County DA's office, gets into the race, his first run for office, raises significant sums of money as only a Kennedy can, and wins 2-1 against the same candidate, Sean Bilat, who had given a little bit of trouble to Barney Frank.
So do we think that this, and have you picked up any evidence that the Barney Frank and Gay thing has anything to do with the fact that Barney Frank had more of a problem than Kennedy did?
I don't think that was it. I think Barney Frank was a lightning rod because of his role in House banking regulations. He had become a national political figure and a favorite punching bag on conservative talk radio and on the Fox News channel. And as a result, that race became somewhat nationalized, and Sean Bilat raised a chunk of money from outside the district. And I think that is what gave Barney Frank the difficulty. He had a target, a bullseye painted on him in the 2010 midterm, and he just didn't feel like going through that again.
Well, now, just in case everybody doesn't know, we're having some fun here and playing what if. What if now the scenario I painted becomes reality? We have Kerry going to the Secretary of State. We have an open seat, and we have Scott Brown running. If Joseph Kennedy III, is that who you're talking about
that,
here?
That is correct.
If
yep.
Joseph Kennedy III decides to run with really almost having not served 3 days, you know, in the House, would he win?
No, it wouldn't play well. And we saw that happen before Elizabeth Warren got into the race. We had a field of Democratic candidates, none of whom had the star quality of a Kennedy, for sure. But one, Seti Warren, the mayor of Newton, Massachusetts, had served in as an aide to John Kerry, had served in the Obama administration, but had just been elected mayor. Faced tremendous pushback from people saying, you just got here.
Yeah.
You haven't even served. And he eventually dropped out. He couldn't get any traction. I think Joseph Kennedy III would run into very much the same thing. On top of that, he's a fairly young candidate and doesn't present the gravitas that others might. So I'd be very surprised.
Tim Versalotti, always wonderful to talk to you. You are such a smart guy.
Oh,
when we come back, we'll take up the conversation.